This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atammani al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadyeh. Mustanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The month of Ramadan is a time to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and re-establish our relationship with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we commonly hear, that the month of Ramadan is a time to get closer to Allah. It is a time to turn back to Allah. It is a time to focus on our ibadah of Allah. But what does all of that mean exactly? What does it exactly mean to be in a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so most of us, unfortunately, pay lip service to our iman and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim to be believers, but we don't do what is required of believers, which is why many of us, we complain of our iman and we complain about not finding that pleasure of iman, that sweetness of iman. We complain that we don't find pleasure in our ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so even now in the month of Ramadan, if you were to ask many about their worship, how is your ibadah going now in the month of Ramadan? They would complain and they would tell you that they're not really enjoying it. Why? What is it that's missing? And so it's not that we don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are certain about our belief in Him. But there are certain meanings of iman that are missing from our hearts, either partially or fully. And so this is why we don't find that sweetness of iman in our hearts. This is why we don't find that pleasure in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we don't even find the drive or the urge to want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are certain meanings of iman, certain aspects of iman that are missing, either partially or fully. What are these aspects, or what are these meanings of iman? Things like al-ikhlas, sincerity, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting to seek the pleasure of Allah behind our actions, feeling a sense of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling the sense of Allah watching us at every moment, especially while we're worshipping Him. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being conscious of Allah at every single moment in our lives. Being true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. being true in our meaning, in our iman, being true to our word, that, O Allah, we have believed in you, and we are true in that iman. Sacrificing ourselves and what we love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having a sense of value for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. If we had these meanings present in our hearts, we wouldn't be the way we are today. If we had these meanings in our hearts, our lives would be completely different than what they are today. We wouldn't complain about our iman. We wouldn't complain about not finding pleasure in the ibadah of Allah. We wouldn't complain that, you know, I don't find the urge, I don't find the interest, the drive to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if you were to ask most Muslims about ikhlas, for example, why is a believer supposed to make his worship sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They would give you the standard answer that Allah has commanded us to worship Him alone with ikhlas, with sincerity, meaning we don't direct our worship to others, because if we don't have ikhlas, then it means we're falling into shirk, whether it be major shirk or minor shirk, and so on and so forth. If you were to ask them, why is a believer supposed to have ikhlas? This is the standard answer that you'll probably hear. But how about contemplating deeper into the meaning of ikhlas? And so the real reason why the believer has ikhlas and should have sincerity is because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because he loves Allah, that's why he is sincere to Allah in his worship. And it's because of his hope for Allah's reward, that is why he is sincere in his worship. Likewise, at-tawakkul. A believer has this in his heart. At-tawakkul, which is putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving your affairs in the hands of Allah. A believer has this in his heart because he is confident in the one who he worships. He has this yaqeen, this certainty, that the one he worships, he alone is able to relieve him of all of his problems. He alone is able to help him in all of his affairs. He has this deep conviction in his heart. And so here, yaqeen goes hand in hand with tawakkul. In the previous example of ikhlas, ikhlas goes hand in hand with the love of Allah and hope for His reward. Likewise, at-tawbah. Why should a believer turn to Allah in repentance? Or what is it that drives the believer to turn to Allah in repentance? It is the fear of Allah's punishment. He fears Allah, and he realizes who Allah is. He understands the greatness of Allah. He has this sense of the greatness of Allah in his heart. And so as a result of that, he fears him. As a result of that, he turns to him in repentance. And so here, at-tawbah goes hand in hand with the fear of Allah and realizing the greatness of Allah. So what do we notice in all of these examples? What we notice in all of these examples are certain aspects of our iman that are either missing partially or completely. And so we all claim that we worship Allah sincerely. But the real test would be, what is it that drives you to worship Allah? If it is not the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it is not hoping for what Allah has in store for you if you worship Him, then the reality is that you are not sincere in your worship. Likewise, if you just pay lip service and say, I put my trust in Allah, but you don't actually believe that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a, you don't have that confidence in Allah that He will suffice you in all your affairs, then in reality you haven't put your trust in Allah, and so on and so forth. And so all of these examples are related to what we refer to in Arabic as أعمال القلوب, the actions of the hearts. These actions of the hearts is where we are lacking, and this is where we need to improve on. And so this Ramadan being a completely different Ramadan amid this current lockdown that we're under, where we are in seclusion at home, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the confines of our homes, here we have an excellent opportunity to create that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why bi-idhnillahi ta'ala we will be focusing on these aspects of iman over the course of these lectures every single Tuesday and Wednesday in the month of Ramadan bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We start with the very, very first step in establishing your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connecting with Allah, and that is through the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ma'rifah of Allah is the knowledge of Allah. Getting to know Allah, getting yourself familiar with who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so you can't worship Allah and enjoy your worship of Allah if you don't know who Allah is through His names and His attributes. And so the reason why many of us, we can't connect with Allah in our ibadah, is that we haven't really gotten to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, based on one's knowledge of Allah is his ta'zeem for Allah. Based on one's knowledge of Allah is his veneration for Allah in his heart. And those most knowledgeable of Allah are those most revering and those most venerating of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the more you get to know Allah, the more you will be able to connect with Him, and the more you will be able to enjoy your ibadah. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he says, the best knowledge in this dunya that you can ever gain is knowledge of Allah, which is knowledge of His names, His attributes, and His actions, which in turn results in what? It results in the forgiveness of Allah, in the fear of Allah, in the love for Allah, in the veneration for Allah, putting your trust in Allah. And so as you can see here, all of these meanings of Iman that we spoke about earlier that are missing in our hearts, the very, very first step on improving in these meanings of Iman is by getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah. And so the levels that the believers are at in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proportionate to what? Everyone is worshiping Allah, but not everyone is getting the same output, the desired output from their ibadah. Everyone is worshiping Allah, but for some, their worship of Allah is a mere exercise, a bodily exercise. Whereas for others, they are transcending, and it's as if they left this world through their ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoying it on a different level. And so everyone is at a different level based on this one thing, and that is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those most knowledgeable of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, those most knowledgeable of Him are those who worship Him the most. And so the two go hand in hand. The two go hand in hand. Those most worshipping of Allah and enjoying their worship of Allah the most are those who have the most knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, those who you find worshipping Allah the most, it is those who have the most knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, when we say knowledge of Allah, we don't mean theoretical knowledge. And so some may be thinking, this means that I have to become a scholar. I have to study years on end and become a scholar of the deen. And only then will I reach that level. Some may be thinking, okay, so the scholars of Islam who we hear about, Sheikh so-and-so, Sheikh so-and-so, look at how much knowledge he has, he must have reached this level. But the reality is that that is not the case. That is not what we mean by knowledge here. The ma'rifah of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, is not theoretical knowledge. It is not something you read in books and that's it. No. It's a knowledge that remains present in the heart at all times. It's not a knowledge that remains in the mind, but it's a knowledge that penetrates deep into the heart, and the result of it is seen outwardly. And so this is why the prophets and the messengers were at the highest level of Iman and taqwa and worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith that I am the most knowledgeable of you about Allah, and the most fearing of you, of Allah. And so the two, they go hand in hand. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Of all of Allah's servants, only the knowledgeable of Allah, the knowledgeable of His might, His greatness, only they are those who fear Him. Of all of Allah's servants, only the knowledgeable of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only they who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir, he says in his tafsir of this verse, those who fear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be feared are those who have knowledge of Him. Why? Because the more complete a person's knowledge of the Almighty, the All-Powerful is, the more greater his fear of Him will be. The more you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will fear Him. The more you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will want to worship Him. It's not difficult to understand. It's simple. So the question is, how do we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Once we understand the importance of getting to know Allah, how do we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibn Qayyim, he says, the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on His servants in the Quran to get to know Him through two ways. One, by looking into the actions of Allah. And number two, by contemplating over the ayat, the verses of Allah, pondering over them. He says the first is the visible signs of Allah, the signs of Allah in His creation. And the second is the ayat that we can hear being recited and contemplated over. And so these are the two ways that we can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, by looking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this massive creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over it. And through this way, you will get to know the greatness of Allah. And the second way, by reading about Allah through the Quran, through His ayat, and by listening to the recitation of the Quran. Ibn Qayyim, he says elsewhere, he explains how throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself. And so he says sometimes Allah describes Himself with attributes of greatness, of glory, of might, of awe, causing us to break down before His might, bringing our self-esteem down and putting our arrogance aside. Other times, Allah displays Himself with attributes of beauty, causing us to develop a love for Him that is unmatched to any love, driving us to praise Him and worshiping Him out of sheer love for Him. Other times He describes Himself to us with attributes of mercy, compassion, and kindness, causing a glimmer of hope to enlighten within us. The more we hope in His mercy, the more we turn to Him in seeking His forgiveness. Other times He displays His attributes of justice, anger, and promise of punishment, causing us to fear Him and causing us to suppress our desires and not dare fall into what He has forbidden. Other times He describes Himself to us with attributes of hearing, seeing, and full knowledge of what we do, causing us to feel a sense of shame, not wanting to be seen by Allah in a state that He does not approve of, nor for Him to hear a word from us that He dislikes, nor allow our hearts to have anything in it that is displeasing to Him. On the other hand, and so this is getting to know Allah through His names and His attributes, learning about Allah through what He subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about Himself. If we learn about Allah, get to know Allah through this method, it will develop all of these meanings in our hearts. This will establish that relationship that we're supposed to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not simply reading these ayat verbally, but contemplating over them. That's why Ibn Qayyim says here, hearing these ayat and then contemplating over them. Let the meanings of these attributes of Allah, let them to penetrate deep within us. On the other hand, if we were to contemplate the signs of Allah in His creation, it develops a sense of the greatness of Allah in our hearts. And so Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he explains to us the greatness of Allah by telling us about His arsh, His throne. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, the distance between each heaven, as we know there are seven heavens, the distance between each is 500 years. And then the distance between the seventh heaven and the kursi of Allah is a distance of 500 years. The kursi of Allah is not the arsh, not the throne. It is the footstool of Allah. And then he said, between the kursi and the water, because Allah in the Quran tells us that His arsh is over water. He says, between the footstool, the kursi, and the water is a distance of 500 years. And then the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, is above the water, and Allah is above the arsh, and none of your deeds are concealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if this is the creation of Allah, and the greatest creation of Allah is His throne, then how about Allah, whose greatness can never be compared to anything? Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, comparing the greatest of His creation, the arsh, he said, the universe or the creation of Allah compared to the kursi, which is the footstool, is like a ring that you throw into a vast desert. And Allah's kursi compared to His arsh is like a ring in a desert. And so imagine this universe and what we human beings until today have discovered of this universe. It is nothing compared to the kursi of Allah, and then compared to the arsh of Allah. And so how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How about the greatness of Allah? It cannot be compared to anything. But you know what our problem is? Our problem is that we live in a materialistic world, and seldom do we leave our fast-paced lives that rely completely on technology. that we have created in order to leave that life and ponder over Allah's creation. When was the last time that you left the city and went out into the countryside and pondered over the creation of Allah? At night, looked up at the stars and the moon and just sat down and pondered over this creation of Allah. And so one of the reasons for the spread of the heedlessness of Allah in our times is that we are no longer affected by the natural world around us. Our lives revolve almost entirely around modern technology. From the time we leave home until we come back, we're just immersed in this fake world, this materialistic world that we have created for ourselves. Unlike the people of the past, whose lives relied heavily on the creation of Allah. Wherever they went, they were reminded of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it had to be calamities like this current calamity that we're in, this pandemic, it had to be a calamity like this to make us stop and ponder over our lives and over the greatness of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly the one who is in control of everything, and not us human beings and the technology that we have created.